Welcome back to Condor Currents, the podcast that flows through the latest in computer architecture research and RISC-V innovation. I'm Ty Garibay, president of Condor Computing. This episode is brought to you by Condor Computing, high-performance RISC-V processor IP from Andes Technology, the world's leading RISC-V processor IP provider with 30% market share and over 12 billion SoCs shipped. Learn more at condorcomputing.com. Today, we're diving into some fascinating research on autonomous driving compute schedules and challenging the floating point dominance in AI hardware. Plus, we've got some exciting RISC-V news, including a 160-core M.2 board that's turning heads. Let's jump right in. First up, from Archive, we have isolation-aware scheduling framework for DNN-based end-to-end autonomous driving system on tile-based accelerators by Chengguang Zhang, Yuanpeng Zhang, and Chenhao She. Now, this is hitting on something that's becoming a massive challenge in the automotive space. Level 4 autonomous driving systems need to run dozens of different deep neural networks simultaneously, all working together in this end-to-end pipeline. And here's the kicker. They've got to do this under a strict 100 millisecond latency constraint. That's like having to coordinate a symphony orchestra where every musician is playing a different piece. And the whole performance has to finish in exactly the same amount of time every time. But here's where it gets really interesting. The execution time for these neural networks can vary by up to 3.3 times, depending on what they're processing. Imagine if sometimes your musicians played their parts in 30 seconds, and sometimes they took 90 seconds, but your concert still had to finish at exactly the right moment. The traditional approach might be to give each neural network its own dedicated hardware, kind of like giving each musician their own concert hall. But that's wildly expensive for mass production vehicles. Nobody wants to pay an extra $50,000 for a car just because it needs separate compute units for every AI function. So instead, these neural networks have to share hardware resources on a single chip, which creates contention. It's like cramming that whole orchestra onto one stage. Suddenly, the violinists are bumping into the cellist and everyone's fighting for the good spots near the conductor. This is where the researchers' innovation comes in. They're focusing on tile-based accelerators, which are basically these modular compute units that can be configured and reconfigured dynamically. Think of them like Lego blocks for compute. You can snap them together in different configurations depending on what you need to process. The key insight here is that these tile-based systems expose scheduling opportunities that conventional autonomous driving schedulers completely miss. Most current systems treat the hardware like a black box. They just throw tasks at it and hope for the best. But this research recognizes that when you understand the underlying tile architecture, you can be much smarter about how you schedule these neural networks. The isolation-aware part is crucial here. In processor design, we always talk about isolation, making sure one process doesn't interfere with another. In the context of autonomous driving, this becomes life-critical.
You cannot have your object detection neural network slowing down because the path planning network is hogging shared cache memory. The framework they're proposing essentially creates intelligent boundaries between different neural network workloads while still allowing efficient resource sharing. This work is particularly relevant for us in the RISC-V ecosystem because tile-based accelerators are becoming increasingly common in custom silicon designs. When you're building a custom AI chip using RISC-V cores, understanding how to schedule these heterogeneous workloads efficiently is absolutely critical. The automotive industry is moving fast on this. We're seeing companies like Tesla designing their own AI chips, and RISC-V's flexibility makes it an attractive option for these custom automotive compute solutions. Next up, we have a paper that's really challenging some fundamental assumptions about AI hardware, non-parametric dual manifold mapping via 8-bit bounded transformation matrices, challenging FP-centric hardware paradigms in low-energy AI by Lars Kopp. Now, this title might sound like academic word salad, but the core idea here is actually revolutionary.
Kopp is basically saying, hey, what if we're doing AI compute completely wrong? Most modern deep learning hardware is built around floating point arithmetic, FP32, FP16, even FP8. These floating point units are compute hungry beasts that require massive amounts of power and generate tons of heat. Think of floating point arithmetic like using a Formula One race car to deliver pizza. Sure, it's incredibly precise and can handle any situation you throw at it, but it's overkill for most tasks and burns through fuel like crazy. What Kopp is proposing is a completely different approach, a non-parametric, training-free computational framework that operates strictly within 8-bit signed integer boundaries instead of those power-hungry floating-point units. This approach uses simple bitwise operations and accumulation logic.
It's like replacing that Formula One car with a perfectly tuned electric bicycle. It might not go as fast, but it gets the job done efficiently and doesn't require a pit crew. The dual manifold mapping concept is particularly clever.
Traditional neural networks try to learn everything in one unified space, but this approach separates the problem into two manifolds, a spatial manifold with 819 two neurons, and what I assume is a temporal or feature manifold. By keeping these separate and using integer-only operations, you can potentially achieve similar results with dramatically lower power consumption. From a processor design perspective, this is huge. Integer units are much simpler, smaller, and more power efficient than floating point units. If you can eliminate or significantly reduce floating point requirements in AI workloads, you can design much more efficient processors. This is especially relevant for edge AI applications where power consumption is critical. Think IoT devices, mobile phones, or autonomous vehicles where every watt counts. What's really interesting is the training-free aspect. Most neural networks require extensive training phases that are computationally expensive. A training-free approach could dramatically reduce the compute requirements for deploying AI systems. This connects back to our work at Condor Computing because efficiency is a core principle in RISC-V design philosophy.
RISC-V's modular approach allows you to include exactly the compute units you need, minus no more, no less. If research like this proves that you can do effective AI with simpler integer operations, it opens up possibilities for much more specialized, efficient RISC-V cores optimized for these workloads. The broader implication here is that we might be at an inflection point in AI hardware design. For years, the industry has been throwing more and more floating point compute at AI problems, but approaches like this suggest there might be fundamentally more efficient ways to achieve similar results. That's the kind of paradigm shift that creates opportunities for innovative processor architectures. Moving into our RISC-V news segment, let's start with something that caught my eye, a 160-core RISC-V board in M2 form factor. This is being covered by Hackaday with the headline, 160-core RISC-V board is the M2 coprocessor. You didn't know you needed. Now, this is exactly the kind of innovation that gets me excited about the RISC-V ecosystem.
The fact that someone can pack 160 RISC-V cores into an M2 form factor shows just how far we've come in terms of power efficiency and silicon density. M2 is traditionally the domain of storage devices, minus your NVMe, SSDs, and Wi-Fi cards. But here we're seeing it used for compute acceleration, which opens up some really interesting possibilities. Think about this from a system design perspective. You could have a traditional x86 or ARM host processor handling your main workload, and then slot in one of these 160-core RISC-V boards for specialized compute tasks. It's like having a dedicated math coprocessor, but instead of just handling floating point arithmetic, you've got 160 independent cores that can tackle parallel workloads. This approach is particularly clever because it leverages existing infrastructure. Every modern motherboard already has M2 slots, and the PCIe interface provides plenty of bandwidth for communication between the host and the RISC-V cores. You don't need to redesign your entire system. You just add this module for additional compute capability.
From our perspective at Condor Computing, this represents the kind of modular, flexible approach that RISC-V enables. When you're not locked into a specific architecture paradigm, you can create these specialized compute modules that fit exactly where they're needed. The 160-core count suggests they're probably using fairly simple, efficient cores, minus likely optimized for specific workloads rather than trying to be general-purpose powerhouses. This is a great example of RISC-V's philosophy in action: build exactly what you need, nothing more, nothing less. The applications for something like this are really broad. You could use it for parallel data processing, cryptographic workloads, AI inference, or any other compute-intensive task that benefits from massive parallelism. And because it's in M2 form factor, it's accessible to enthusiasts and researchers, not just big corporations with custom silicon budgets. Next up, Microchip is making moves with their MyV RISC-V soft core processor, according to Hackster.io. They're upgrading their RV32 soft core and promising major speed improvements.
This is significant because Microchip has been one of the early adopters of RISC-V in the FPGA space, and soft cores are really important for the broader ecosystem. For those not familiar, a soft core processor is basically a processor design that's implemented in FPGA fabric rather than being a fixed hard silicon design. Think of it like the difference between building a house from scratch versus using modular components that you can rearrange. With a soft core, you get the flexibility to customize and modify the processor for your specific needs.
Microchip's MyV family has been around for a while, and they've been steadily improving performance and features. What's interesting about this upgrade is that it represents the ongoing maturation of the RISC-V ecosystem. Early RISC-V implementations were often more about proving the concept than delivering competitive performance. But now we're seeing established companies like Microchip investing in serious performance improvements. The RV32 designation tells us this is a 32-bit implementation, which makes sense for a lot of embedded and IoT applications where 64-bit addressing isn't necessary.
By focusing on 32-bit, they can optimize for power efficiency and cost while still delivering solid performance for their target markets. From a broader industry perspective, improvements to soft core processors like this are crucial for RISC-V adoption. FPGAs are often the first place that engineers experiment with new processor architectures because you can iterate quickly without the massive cost and time investment of custom silicon. When companies like Microchip improve their soft core offerings, it makes it easier for engineers to prototype and validate RISC-V-based designs. This connects to our work at Andes Technology because we're seeing the same trend across the entire RISC-V ecosystem. Performance improvements, better tool chains, more comprehensive IP portfolios, all of these factors are reducing the barriers to RISC-V adoption. Microchip's investment in their MyV platform is a vote of confidence in RISC-V's long-term viability in the embedded space. Finally, we've got some interesting news from China with Spesemate announcing plans for a server-class RISC-V processor following a capital injection.
This is being reported by the South China Morning Post, and it represents a significant development in the server processor space. Spesemate has been working on RISC-V designs for a while, but moving into server-class processors is a big step up in complexity and ambition. Server processors need to handle massive parallel workloads, complex memory hierarchies, and enterprise-grade reliability requirements. It's a much more demanding application than the embedded and IoT spaces where RISC-V has gained most of its traction so far. What's particularly interesting is the timing and geography of this announcement. We're seeing increasing investment in domestic semiconductor capabilities across Asia, and RISC-V's open architecture makes it an attractive option for companies and countries looking to reduce dependence on traditional processor vendors. A server-class RISC-V processor from Spesemate could potentially compete with offerings from Intel, AMD, and ARM in data center applications. The capital injection suggests that investors believe in both Spesemate's technical capabilities and the broader market opportunity for RISC-V in high-performance computing.
This is exactly the kind of validation that the RISC-V ecosystem needs to move into mainstream enterprise applications. From a technical standpoint, designing a competitive server processor is enormously challenging. You need sophisticated branch prediction, out-of-order execution, advanced cache hierarchies, and robust multi-core scaling. These are areas where traditional processor vendors have decades of optimization and patent portfolios. But RISC-V's open architecture creates opportunities for innovative approaches that might not be possible with proprietary instruction sets. It's also worth noting that this represents another data point in RISC-V's expanding addressable market. We started with microcontrollers and embedded applications, moved into mobile and edge computing, and now we're seeing serious efforts in the server space. Each successful implementation in a new market segment validates the architecture and attracts more investment and development effort. For those of us building the RISC-V ecosystem, announcements like this from Spesemate are encouraging because they demonstrate the continued growth and maturation of the technology.
Every successful RISC-V processor makes the next one easier to develop and deploy. That wraps up another episode of Condor Currents. We covered some fascinating research on autonomous driving, compute scheduling, and challenging assumptions about AI hardware design, plus exciting RISC-V developments from the M2 form factor to server class ambitions. Condor Currents brought to you by Condor Computing, part of Andes Technologies RISC-V processor IP portfolio. Don't forget to subscribe and share with your fellow architecture enthusiasts. Tomorrow, we'll be diving into more cutting-edge research from the world of computer architecture and RISC-V innovation. Until then, keep designing the future of computing.